Hi, everybody. It's time for the BTA review once more with me, Clive Ratton.
And me, Andrew Clark.
So here we are on the latest edition of the podcast where we chat about what the BTA have been up to, what we're going to get up to, and some other bits and pieces that are going on outside of the BTA too sometimes. Not sure. We kind of plan it roughly, but generally just ramble on. So starting off today, a bit of a review of what's been going on, given it's the BTA review. And we had the aviation conference, which is always a sellout for us, where they conference purely on aviation. And it was a good one, wasn't it? I think
really good. I think as the our listeners will know, we've tried to change a little bit of our formats this year, and certainly the aviation one being, I would think, I'm not going to call it the highlight of our sector conferences. It's just that we have more air partners than any other of our partners in the sectors, so it's one that a lot of people focus on, and we get a good attendance on. So we did a bit of an afternoon start, a few good panel sessions, one in particular that raised a lot of questions and thought provoking and what next conversations, and then we had a bit of a networking evening where the partners were able to put up their pop-up stands and meet and greet and speak to the attendees and sort of share their information about their specific airline and so forth. So it was really good, well attended. But the one session that kind of picked up a lot of attention was the accessible travel that you hosted, Clive. And it's a topic that I think before you had the conversation on stage, I don't think people really understood the impact that not having accessible travel has.
Yeah, it was really interesting, I would say. And even though I knew Hayley, who was the young lady that came along to talk about her experiences of traveling with accessibility issues, that I hadn't even thought around some of the issues that she faced. And the business travel sector hasn't really focused on this before. I mean, just asking out there into the audience on the day how many have questions within the booking flow, for example, about what help do you need. It's just not built into it, and it seems strange that we haven't tackled it up until now, because it is very much part of the community that people travel on, business travel, with accessibility issues. But yeah, as you say, I think even Hayley got shocked over one question, didn't she? That she, for those that weren't there, has an electric wheelchair and needs to be put on a bulkhead seat when she's traveling, and the wheelchair obviously put in the hold, and she has a folding wheelchair, but has to sit in a bulkhead seat for accessibility reasons of being able to get her in and out. But I asked her, well, what happens? I assume one of the crew members comes up to you and says, well, I'm responsible for you in the event of, needing an emergency. And she said, no. She said, I've never even thought about that before, that nobody comes up and speaks to me. And now I'm a bit worried. And I went, oh dear, I wish I hadn't done that for you. But it did raise the issue that is absolutely the case. All looked after, put on board, no problem. But in the event of a emergency, there's not someone allocated, or somebody didn't speak to us, say, this is what will happen. And just a little thing that we picked up out of that we need to talk more about. And equally, that she's unable to get to the toilet during a flight, and relayed her experience of a flight to Bangkok. And if anybody has flown to Bangkok, it's not a short flight, where she actually was unable to go to the toilet because the toilets on airplanes are not feasible for her to get in and out of. So there's things that we need to raise up and tackle. And I think you had been talking to the DFT, actually, accessibility before that day. Unfortunately, you couldn't join us, but I think you are still talking to them about helping us around that.
We are, absolutely, and they want to come and talk with us and get in part of that discussion, so they can hear real life stories, and also what's going on in the industry, what changes are happening. And interesting to see a lot of the airlines in the room not really focusing on that. It's not part of their kind of roadmap going forward, except for one airline. So we'll see how those conversations take shape over the next few months. But I think what was interesting about it, Clive, is that we broached a topic that's normally kind of, it's that elephant in the room at the back that nobody talks about. And that's what I'm quite enjoyed over the last couple of sector conferences, is we've really got into the meaty topics, and everybody's kind of got involved, asked questions, and not been afraid in a room to kind of try and help us understand some of the challenges we face. and also, you know, hopefully start us on the path to, well, what's the solution?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's good that you have those conversations, and it helps lead us into further discussion to hopefully produce something that changes for the good a particular subject matter. And of course, accessibility isn't just about aviation. We learn around that is clear.
Technology has everything.
A massive part to play in it, in the booking
process. Yeah.
But obviously hotels, trains, cars, everything. We need to try and make it a seamless journey for those that have those issues. And that's before we get into hidden disabilities and how we handle that and understand all of that kind of stuff. So lots more on that one, but great to have that conversation and many other good conversations at that conference, which so was very enjoyable. And we'll see, we haven't had the feedback yet. That's out with our partners and members to see how the new app works. And we'll share that obviously and see if it's the right way to move forward or we need to tweak some more.
Yeah, yeah. And then we had the GEM board meeting. We've had a face-to-face board meeting in a great little place called the Ministry in London. I'm giving them a little plug here. It's a shared working environment space, but fantastic little venue down at down near Borough Market.
And it's part of London.
Really nice. And I think the whole board really, you know, enjoyed the day because the environment was inclusive of having that kind of engaged conversation for the day. And we had lunch on site. We didn't have to sort of all trek out to the various supermarkets and fast food chains. And
well, that's a shame at Borough Market.
Shops.
The food outlets
it is, it is,
great.
It is,
but yeah, anyway, I'm sure it was a great lunch.
It would have into our day. But no, again, good conversations there, really sort of trying to pick up some of the hot topics and trends and what the GEM board need to focus on to try and help us, you know, shift momentum on certain areas. I think the GEM board itself is evolving and changing. So again, good conversations there, but everyone's really engaged, which is important, I think.
Yeah, and they'll be hearing more from those at the spring conference, which is coming up very soon. The GEM board are involved in that and really, making quite a lot of difference, which is exciting times for that board ahead. And it's really beginning to gather momentum now, which is what it was all supposed to do.
Yeah, and then we've been out and about. We've been out on our travels. We've been collaborating. We've been working with other associations. We've been attending dinners and events and all sorts. So do you want to... You've been out of the country again, Clive.
By popular request.
Recurring theme on our catch-ups.
Well, yeah, it is. But so by popular request, get that man out of the country and tell him to leave us alone. Well, yeah. I mean, the first visit was just kind of trans-border. We headed up to Scotland to attend the SPAA.
Yeah. Didn't need our passports for that one yet.
Well, yeah, you do need to give ID, right, on domestic flights. So I thought, you went on the train, I have to say.
But I went on the train. I went on the train.
Always forget that. And they go, have you got your ID? You go, oh, bloody hell. Driving license, got away with it. But that was really enjoyable. And it is fantastic dinner. And people kind of say tradition, you don't need it. But what is fantastic about SPAA, in my opinion, is the tradition that is kept around that. It's our legacy. It's something we should be proud of. And they do it very well with the very much Scottish theme, as you'd expect. With the pipers and the haggis and everything, and great to catch up with a lot of colleagues that I hadn't seen for a while, and to really cement the relationship with the SPAA because we want to work closely with them.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a kind of a BTA on the road joint event planned that's coming up. So we won't reveal too much just yet while we're still working on it, but that's coming up for mid-April where we're going back up to Scotland and we'll get information shared out. But that really important, I think, you know, collaboration across industries, associations, making sure that we keep in touch with each other. We're sort of fighting the good fight across all causes. I think it's super important for us, and it's a part of your role and my role and the team's role as we go through a lot of events and you know.
Did we talk about, I can't remember when the last one was, our alliance with the Australian Travel Management?
We didn't know. That's a brand new, hot off the press bit of information you're sharing there, Clive. What's that all about?
Yeah, well, I think it.
I don't even
exciting.
Know.
Yeah, that's right. You're the first to hear. In fact, do I know? What am I talking about? I'm lost completely in showbiz. It is exciting talking to the association, which is effectively the same as the BTA, but in Australia representing those companies. We were chatting back end of last year around a couple of issues and said, well, why don't we actually start working together in an alliance and sharing the issues that we have, having a joint voice and looking to widen it out, because it's very clear from my 4 years here at the BTA, or 4.5 years, is that the travel management sector doesn't really have a global voice in the association. It is very much led by the buyers, which is great, but there is certainly a need, we believe, as did ATMC, our colleagues in Australia, along the same way, is to consider the views of travel management community on a wider basis rather than by country. So yeah, we've signed that alliance and we're beginning to start work on that. I'm really pleased that they will be attending our autumn conference. And we're looking to do more. I've already had another conversation with another travel management association in another country that I think may progress to be the third Great. Party within that, and then we look to grow it. So yeah, really excited about that. And it's always good to have a bit of banter with the Aussies anyway. There's nothing wrong with that. In my career, I've always had that. I've missed it here. So
yes, I'm not sure we've got any good banter going that way at the moment, though. Right?
Cricket's not great. Is it Ashes this winter?
I've no idea.
Well, we've got the Olympics, so we always like to trounce there.
That's a good one. So, going back to your travels, Clive, because it'd be remiss of us to get into your foreign travel experience. Where did you head off to last week? I think you were on behalf of the BTA, not on a personal trip.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, this is hard work on behalf of the BTA, and it's overseas, but it is of course to a British territory. So is it overseas? Is it not? Clearly, it is. We headed to Gibraltar. Dave Clare and I to really nail down for the conference that's coming up on the 29th of September, the venues and various other bits and pieces that one needs to when putting a conference together, which was great. I have to say, the Minister Santos, I had lunch with him on Thursday. He's a man with enthusiasm and likes to get things done. Came from the industry. In fact, he was on Disney cruise ships. So he has a few interesting stories to tell around that, but passionate around it and really trying to change Gibraltar's perspective on travel and tourism, looking very much at meetings and incentives, bringing it in and the hotels being built and infrastructure being put in. So really exciting and all good for us in terms of, they're really keen to work with us and help us out. So I genuinely think you're in for a good conference if you're coming along. If you haven't registered yet, get in early to get the maximum time. You've only got a limited number of flight options. Get in there, and I think you'll have a fantastic time, networking, conference content, and see somewhere different. It's surprising how many people haven't been to Gibraltar, and it's still a really good place to go, and one of the most interesting landings of an aircraft in Europe, next to Madeira, I think. But so it's good. I enjoyed it, and really, I am genuinely excited by it. It's the first conference we've done for 3 nights and something a little bit different, so it'll be good.
Yeah, I think any conference anywhere in the sunshine is always a bonus point for everyone, right? Because there's nothing worse than spending a couple of days on a conference looking out the window and it's chucking it down with rain for two solid days. But
yeah, it does help. Generally does help the mood of everybody and the conversation. We joke about it, but it does change the dynamic when you've got sunshine, for sure. But, we'll see that.
And that's flying everyone over to Gibraltar. Obviously, we did our last conference in Antwerp where we took everybody by Eurostar. So we've had an alternate to and we're seeing a big increase in overseas meetings and events and conferences. We're hearing that from our partners. They seem to be back on track, but nearer to home. And we talk about rail. I came by train event last week.
I did,
yes, down from Manchester to London and then also on the Underground, the lovely TFL across to the event. But, that event was quite interesting in terms of some of the topics. I think, the aim is to kind of try and achieve a 30% rail increase in travel by 2035. That, 11 years is a long time, right? 30%, probably a low target if we want to get back to the volumes we were, but really good, interesting and frank and collaborative spirit in the room. I think it was a lot of representation from football teams to industry representatives to government representatives. So it was a really good event. And unfortunately, we've just been hit yesterday by the 4.9% increase in rail fares, which the DfT have shared that they've capped at 4.9%, but it's still above the current rate of inflation. So that's, again, a challenge when we talk about getting people back onto our railways for commuters, commuting to business, for work, for, you know, personal trips. It's a tough ask for people.
Yeah, it is. Price is the key thing. And it's just that it's driven by the Treasury, which I won't bore everybody with. And they've just got to change the approach and be more commercial, because it's very simple economics. If you charge a little less and you get double the amount of people, you end up with more money in the pot, right? So why it's the only way to get more revenue is to keep putting fares up and then lose passengers defeats me. But there you go. It's something we will talk about in our upcoming meeting with the Rail Minister that we have. That I'm taking a few of our members along to. So it's good that you were there and hearing the positive approach, which is great, but now we need some action from government, whichever one it is, to listen to business and commercial and say this is how we can improve the railway. But great that the conversation is being had across people involved, and it's not about competitive, it's about collaboration, which we're going on about a lot. Positive news.
Yes, we are. So I think that wraps it up, Clive. I think we need to just go and spend some time away and get our focus on our conference now.
We do. Just one week away, we're recording this to the Spring Conference, which we look forward to seeing over 180 people registered. So a really fantastic number. What I hope is some great content and debate. And I really look forward to seeing a lot of those people I haven't seen for a while that come along to the conference. So if you're coming, we look forward to seeing you. We promise we will feed you well this year. There's a nice lunch involved and a great venue. So yeah, looking forward to that, albeit this kind of week leading up to any conference, you always think, oh my goodness, am I ready? I've got a lot to do.
And is everybody going to turn up?
That's always the thing. And then I've got to call a rail strike or something, something like that. All the stuff that we have to worry about, but all good. So listen, everybody, thank you for listening. There was a lot in there today, and we always appreciate you listening, always appreciate your feedback. And we will see you very soon, if not at the Spring Conference, something soon after. So talk to you soon, and it's goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me.